Staying cool and hydrated. An excessive heat watch is in effect for New York City until 9 o'clock tonight. The heat index expected to be 105.
That's meteorologist John Trout. There is mixed reaction from fans in Cleveland who are again losing NBA star LeBron James. The four-time NBA MVP has agreed to a four-year, $154 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Some fans say they want more loyalty. Others say they appreciate James having played with the team. I'm Evan Haney.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, my first radio show in the month of July 2018. It is the second day of July as we prepare for the big 4th of July celebration coming up in various communities within the KYMN Radio listening area. Well, before I introduce you to my guest, I have a sad bit of news here, and that is a very hard-working, dedicated woman from Northfield, Minnesota, passed away in her home this past weekend, unexpectedly, Shelley Brady, who has been the co-chairman of the Ambassador Program for the defeated Jesse James days, also had been a parade chairman, also had been general chairman, and with the defeated Jesse James Day Committee for nearly two decades. And I'm sure we'll have more information in regards to services in the immediate future. And I hope those of you that know Shelley will miss her. I know you will. And I didn't mean to let you know that in a stark way, but I do want to recognize her for all the great things she did for our community. Shelley Brady was just in her early 60s and looking forward to retirement. Welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on this beautiful Monday morning. Plenty of sunshine, and we had plenty of rain over the weekend, and I hope you have spent a great weekend getting to and fro. And boy, I'll tell you, it's something I could not tolerate is driving to downtown Minneapolis. That has to be a nightmare for a lot of people. But I know one guy that just zips out of his driveway and goes a little bit north and then takes a right and goes east on Woodley. Then he goes up to Washington, and then he takes a left and goes down a couple of blocks and parks his car in the city parking lot and walks in and represents a lot of people in Northfield as a city councilman. And his name is David DeLong, class of 1974 and a townie. Hello, David. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Good morning, Wayne.
Always a pleasure to have you here because we get the lowdown on what's going on. And I have said before, and I'll repeat once more, I think you have been one of the better city council people that I've known in the 50 years I've been here, almost 50 years. And you have to settle something for me. My wife and I were chit-chatting about something, and I'm trying to remember what it was because I know that you could set it straight, and it'll come to me eventually. All right? Ever happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Senior moments, we call those.
Well, you're not a senior, are you?
Oh, yes.
Class of 74?
Yeah. Are Want you? To see my AARP card?
No, I think that's a ripoff. What do you think? Well, I shouldn't
I think
say
you that. Get out of it what you put into it. You know, every time I get 10% off someplace.
Every time you get 10% off.
Off someplace, and all I have to do is show my card. Sometimes I don't even have to show my card. I went to a wedding in Wisconsin, another great nephew, and at the hotel, and got an AARP rate on the hotel.
Without showing your card?
Well.
Did they ask you for it?
I can't remember. I don't think so. Because people get one look at me and say, oh, yeah, he qualifies.
My favorite story is when I was probably, well, you remember when Hardee's was here, right? That was a few years ago. Hello, David. Testing.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was getting too comfortable. I leaned back too far and pulled out the headphone jack.
Oh, but used another set with longer wires.
Oh, yes, Hardee. Where
you remember where Hardee's was?
Yep.
Over by where Walgreens is.
Yeah, and where High Kivens had his junkyard.
Oh, yeah. I remember that was there, I think, when I came to town. And no stop-and-go light. But
no.
But anyhow, I used to go through Hardee's and get a cup of coffee. And one day, there was a long line, and I thought to myself, hey, I'll just walk in. There's a parking place right in front. So I walked in, I ordered a cup of coffee. And back in those days, I gave her a dollar, and I got, like, let's say 30 cents change. And I looked at it, and I said, well, how come usually I pay 80 cents for that, not 70? And she says, well, they can't see you in the drive-thru. And she meant well by it, but anyhow.
Yeah, Hardee's, that's where the Breakfast Club got started. Dixon Bond, Bob Jacobson, I can't remember who else, but, you know, they were over there talking about city business and coffee in the morning. And, you know, I know the Quarterback Club has a group that meets for coffee, and the guys, they're not meeting at the Rube anymore, but Earl Scott and
I remember all those
guys.
He used to have the cleaners in town.
Yep.
Say, I remember what it was. The new place that's going up, the former Rubenstein.
Yep.
Now, there's a big sign on there saying Reunion. Is that what they're going to call it?
Yes.
You know, what a great idea. What a great idea. And, you know, I just hope everybody gets that comes here for reunions, you know, that it's the old Rubenstein. Now, I heard that there may be some part of the bar or the restaurant or whatever it is, and it's going to be in memory of Dan Freeman. That's what I heard. And then I said, well, Dan Freeman owned it for a short time. Joe Grundhofer owned it for 30-some years. And don't tell me, you and Brett Reese start the Rubenstein?
No.
Who was it?
Hastings? It was Hayride and...
Jim Hayride and Steve McKay.
McKay, yep.
Yeah, Jim Hayride and Steve McKay.
Based on the beer stube over in
Hastings,
yeah.
And then did the guys in Hastings ever own that, or were they just like leasing it?
I couldn't tell you.
Well, then who came after them?
Then I think it was because Hayride and McKay sold out to someone. And then
Hasekawa?
It could be.
David Hasekawa?
But whoever it was in the meantime, they changed it because it was just beer.
Yeah.
And then Northfield finally decided they could sell liquor at restaurants.
Right.
And it became the Northfield Eating and Drinking Establishment.
Oh, yeah. The Village Pump was the first one to get a license, though.
Yeah.
Which was right next door.
Oh, and go down there on Wednesdays, and buck pitchers of beer and buck pizzas. So $5, you could have a heck of a time. But
yeah.
Now would it only take me like a dollar?
Take me a dollar. What do you mean?
Oh, that's all it would take. You know, a couple beers, Wayne. I'm not...
Oh, I get it. Okay.
I don't have the stamina I used
to. I remember when a bottle of beer was 50 cents.
Oh, yeah.
So then we had Steve McKay and Jim Hayride. The Hastings guys ran it for a while. And then it was the Northfield Eating and Drinking Establishment. Somewhere David Hasekawa was in there. Yeah. And then I think Danny Freeman took it over from there. And then from there, I think... Joe took it over?
No, Brett and I.
Oh, okay. You and, right, Brett Reese and you took it over. And then
I sold out to Brett, and then Brett...
Sold it to Joe?
Yeah, they became partners.
Right. Okay. So. And now it's going to be owned by Blue Water?
I think so.
Well, Brett Reese.
But it's, yeah, it's and, a couple of three guys.
Chris.
Keneally.
Yeah. He's a heck of a nice guy.
Yeah.
I had him on the air.
They've gutted it. I mean, they had some pictures on the internet with...
Oh, I didn't see those.
Oh, out to the bare walls. And
they're
doing a lot of work in there.
Yeah. Do you remember when Danny Freeman had those big... black on white
murals upstairs.
The Beatles and the Rolling Stones and that.
I still have one.
Do you? Which one do you have?
I have Phil Roof.
Who?
Phil Roof, the baseball player.
Oh yeah. That there was
and
a fan
Marty,
club.
Yeah, Marty was up there. The Phil Roof fan club and Dice and
Marty Thernblad.
Yep. And so I have a.
What's Dice's name?
His real name? Yeah. Daryl Budinsky.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you got to be here for a while to know Dice's real name. But.
Well, I've heard it before. I just haven't brought it to me. If you just tuned in, thank you. And this is the Wayne Eddy Affair on this, the first Monday of July, the year is 2018. And it's going to be a beautiful day today. It was nice and sunny and cool this morning. Great opportunity for those of you that can afford it in regards to being... not having to go to work in the morning, to sit outside and have your cup of coffee and listen to KYMN Radio and get all the news, maybe continue on a book you're reading before all that heat comes with the sun. I don't know about you, but it was a hot one this last week.
Absolutely.
And I love the sun. And I'll tell you what, I was a little bit sick of it. After I was driving around in a convertible, and ooh.
At another parade? Falls Parade?
No, I was just cruising. Oh. Cruising, ended up in Wisconsin on the double Ds and double As and the Us and all those beautiful. I thought of a thing there.
County
They color county roads by alphabet. And I was thinking if somebody had to yell for an emergency. And they said, where are you? I'm on W. Okay. And we're calling back. Hey, we got your call. You're on W, but we're on W. Well, I'm on W. Well, we're on W. No, I'm on U. Oh, you mean W. Yeah, we're at W. Anyhow, to me, it would be funny if Abbott and Costello did it. So I asked David to be my guest this morning because he is now on summer break from Carleton College, and the name of the company that you work for is Bon Appetit.
Correct.
And you got through. First of all, tell me, how did the big reunion or...
Alumni weekend?
Yeah. How did it, a lot of people up and down the street.
Yeah. It's big up there. People may have seen the big tents and... You know, cars parked all over, and people come back and give lots of money to their alma mater, and connect with old friends. It, from my perspective, it went off good, or well, whatever the correct. And I think it was a successful weekend. It was a little hot, a little rainy at times, but I think people always have a good time, and you know the different classes. The older the class, the longer they've been out of school. It's a whole lot different. The young classes like to have the tent on by the rec center and have the beer and a good time and the bands and. The older classes like the air-conditioned comfort of the White Center and will have the wine and the hors d'oeuvres and things like that. But, they come back to town. They come back and visit some of their old haunts. And my father-in-law used to say, because he graduated from Carleton, but he came to Carleton on a train. And that's what a lot of people did. He was the class of 58, so he started in 54, took the train from Central Illinois, Benton. So if Jeff Johnson was just there this weekend, not in Benton, but in Illinois, so he probably knows where that is. But, he came in on the train, like hundreds of
One that I remember
students did.
Is Dixon Bond. Dixon Bond came in on a train, the late Dixon Bond, and I can't wait to see what's going to end up with the depot over there. It's been a decade long or more dream of a lot of people, and I sure hope it is going to be successful. It will have trains going by, that's for sure.
Yes, but every chance I get, I like to go, you know, at Winter Walk. They had a little tour they were giving out, and to see the progress so far, and they've made excellent process. And Nick Swearer, who was a kid back when I knew him, but you know, turned into a fabulous artist, and a lot of people have seen his work. The iguana that's in front of the Science Museum, I think, made out of railroad spikes completely. But before he did that, he did a couple other projects, and the Save the Depot people have those, and it'll be part of their sculpture garden. A real generous donation from Norman Oberto. Got the bay window, the curved bay window that used to be there. They have people, volunteers, making the brackets. It is, and like I like to tell Alice Thomas, and I say, you know, I hope the pavilion goes through to the other end, because I see that as the front porch in Northfield. And, you know, go get some coffee at the quarterback, go up to the front porch, because it'll be elevated a little because of the lay of the land and the landings.
Facing Highway 3?
Facing Highway 3.
Or and, the parking lot.
Well, and just look at Northfield from that side of the river. You see the, you know, you'll see the back of the Archer House. You'll see the Ames Mill, you know, and you'll see the hustle and bustle of business and, you know, the trucks and the cars. And we're a vibrant community. Not always so, because I've spent a lot of time on Main Street, but, you know, I can remember 4th of July is when it used to be pretty lonely downtown, and then, you know, we tried to have a celebration, and I think Jeff and Terry were talking about that, or no, Paul Hager. One of the first things he recorded was the fireworks back in 83 or something, one of his first documentaries. And, you know, Al Sevcek and the JCs. The JCs were still the JCs. And, you know, they put it in the tube and run.
Yeah, I did that.
And then have the coffee cans and walk around.
It wasn't enough, though, to get those coffee cans going. And
I'm glad the city decided they could take that over.
Well, St. Paul decided not to.
Yeah.
$100,000 they saved.
Which, the size of St. Paul, I mean, you know, you can cough and spend that much money. But that's St. Paul. We're Northfield. And
what does Northfield spend on fireworks?
I think it's about
12?
I was going to say 15, but less than 20,000, I think. But, you know, it helps make Northfield Northfield. You know, it's not, we're not big time. We don't, you know, we're not like an Eagan or Prior Lake and
Lakeville.
Try to have people, you know, from all over and stuff. Northfield's always been low key when it comes to the 4th of July. You know, we save our. We save our powder for the first weekend in September.
All right. The weekend after Labor Day. And, of course, my wife and I and the kids, we went to Lakeville and ended up finding a parking place right on by the football field. And, I was really impressed with that. But I'm always impressed with what Northfield did, because it was based on a all-volunteer organization headed up by Al Sevcek, the JCs. I was involved. And then, of course, Danny Freeman made it a point for his
so many years, yep.
Walking around and getting things and putting out boxes, etc. And I'm glad that the city is doing that. I also thought, wouldn't it be nice if it had the fireworks on the 3rd of July? And I, a lot of people say, no, that's stupid, the 4th of July. And I think, well, the 3rd of July, you know, you could start them same time, maybe a little bit later, and people can go home and not have to worry about going to work tomorrow.
Well, you must watch fireworks differently than me then, because I have no problem going to work the next day. But, you know, but empathy for the people, this is not at all responsive to your question, but...
Well, you don't go to work the next day.
No.
So...
But, you know, a lot of people do, and a lot of people have to work the 4th. You know, there's a whole service industry, you know, police have to work, store clerks. You know, there's a lot of people that work the 4th. There are a lot of people working today and tomorrow that don't get to take that long weekend.
Dave DeLong is my guest. He is a class of 74 Northfield Townie and also city councilman. And by the way, David... When I make any purchases on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Easter Sunday, Memorial Day, 4th of July coming up, I always thank the people. If I go through a drive-thru, I say, hey, thank you for working today. And then I smile and say, hope you're getting time and a half. And they'll smile and say, oh, yeah. And but I think it's important that you do thank the people, because you and I, well, maybe not you so much, but I come from a generation where you didn't work Sundays. Sundays were down days. You did not, nothing was open. You better.
Yeah. Yep, it was that, and Wednesdays were church night.
Yeah.
So you didn't have any school activities on Wednesdays.
Well, you know, I can tell you that the Quarterback Club right here in Northfield is open for breakfast right now. They serve breakfast from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every single day, Monday through Saturday. Sundays, they say, yep, let's let the nonprofits have their pancake feeds, etc. And they are, of course, locally owned, locally managed. Dale Finger does a great job there. A lot of kids from high school have gotten their very first jobs at the QB, the Quarterback Club. And the food is fantastic and the service is excellent. Quarterback Club, Highway 3 and 3rd Street, wishes you and your family a happy Independence Day, the 4th of July. I have my friend David DeLong in studio. We're going to ask him a couple of questions about the city of Northfield, maybe do some more reminiscing. Stick with us. Even if you're not from Northfield, you might find it interesting on some of the things that this community is doing or is trying not to do, whichever your opinion may be.
Leo South in Lakeville is not your typical power sports company. It's family-owned and run, meaning you actually get to talk to the owners. What's even more impressive is they have 25-plus employees, and they all work every hour they're open. So you don't have to stand in long lines waiting for help. Plus, get faster and more coordinated service. And getting parts? Well, there's so much experience behind the parts counter, you'll be amazed. Our motto is, we sell fun. But every day, our mission is to help you from finding parts, getting service, or shopping for something new. And fun, too. Visit leosouth.com to tempt yourself.
Fourth of July is coming up, so I thought I'd play some Americana music. Name this tune.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, America.
Correct. Using that as bumper music in honor of all those that have served America one way or the other. And that would be almost everybody, because we pay taxes. Coming up on 15 with the Author, on today's 15 with the Author, Terry Knight's guest is a best-selling author. Her name is Karen Carbo. Karen Carbo. Her latest book is titled In Praise of Difficult Women, Life Lessons from 29 Heroines Who Dared to Break the Rules. From political icons to fashion icons, authors to pilots, Karen talks about how she selected the women highlighted in her book. They live life on their own terms. They are ambitious, passionate, smart, sassy, and imperfect. They don't make life easy, but they make it fulfilling. And that is at 11 o'clock this morning on 15 with the author, with KYMN's Terry Knight. Now, if the name sounded familiar to you, Carbo, there once was a president of the Northwestern State Bank named Larry Carbo, who also had a side business where he would be the teller for auctions.
Ah.
You know, if you went to an auction, he'd be the people that you would deal with in regards to money, et cetera.
I think he was somewhere on my first house that I bought.
Okay.
On the, you know, you get the big abstract, the title or something. Mm-hmm. So,
where was your first house?
Woodley and Spring.
Oh, that's your last house too, huh?
Yeah, it was a different house. We tore the one down that was there and put up the side. Yep. Yeah. When
Mom
and
Dad
retired. It's two separate lots. So Mom and Dad owned the north 82.5 feet, and I owned the south 82.5 feet. So it's technically a condominium, but it looks, for all intents and purposes, like a duplex.
Independently owned and operated.
Yep.
A duplex that is owned by two people, yep, or two parties or whatever you say. Okay, so at 9:33 on 1080 Radio, KYMN, Shooting the Fat with Dave DeLong.
I thought you were going to say, Carbo, just like Wally B. Carbo, all-star wrestling, live from the Calhoun Beach Manor Hotel.
No, I wasn't thinking of that, Carbo.
You weren't thinking wrestling?
No, but I was at the
Calhoun Beach.
The Calhoun Beach, and did some work with those wrestlers, and did some promotions in Rice County with the wrestlers, and they scared the heck out of me because I suggested, who's going to win this round that's going to come up after this one? How long will that? How would we know? Oh, my gosh. They scared me. Chased me around. And I was announcing them, and they turned around and said, shut up and let's get the show on the road. Okay, and then they kept coming towards me, and finally one wrestler came over the ropes and landed right on my table that I was doing the announcing and ringing the bell. I thought, I'm never wise enough to any wrestler guy again. I think, was it Geraldo Rivera that got slapped on the side of the head?
Oh, yeah, but Jerry the King Lawler, I think.
I wouldn't know who did it.
Geraldo thought it was fake. And
yeah, and then he hit him and lost his hearing. I think, boy, we come up with really interesting subjects. Why don't you do this, David, that... Tell me, who takes care of the flower pots that are so beautifully hanging from our beautiful lampposts in town?
Well, they start about 5 in the morning, and I think it's his name is Paul, because I was talking to Wanda Plater out at the street shop, and she called him our Paul because he's been retired. So if that's not it, you know, someone can correct me, but when I'm going to work at 5, they're already out here watering them, and they do a fabulous, you know, the garden club plants them and stuff. The city buys some stuff along the way, but the bulk of that work is done by the garden club, and they have a special little cart at the street shop that waters them, but they are fantastic. You know, other towns have baskets and stuff too, that, you know, that's why when you were talking about, well, you know, even if you're not from Northfield, continue to listen to us. But, you know, a lot of small towns are the same. You know, we each have our characters. You know, we each have, you know, the local businessmen that are invested in the town. We each have, you know, city councils. We each have parades and ambassadors. And, you know, you just put different faces on it. But a lot of small town Americas, it's just the same. What makes Northfield special is the people or something in the water. I don't know. But, you know, everyone that comes to this town, I think, loves this town and wants to see it improve. You know, we have a few of the property owners that, you know, let things go to seed and, you know, have trouble. Usually it's a mental health issue sometimes with, you know, I want to say hoarding or something, but, you know, we look out for our neighbors. For the longest time, I had a key to my neighbor's house, Evie Oldland, and so that if something went, you know, haywire, I could let, you know, the police or fire in, you know, but you looked out for your neighbors. You know, in the summer, we were sent out to play, and it's like, you know, come back before the streetlights come on. And that's the way it used to be. I saw something on the news about that, though, and it said that, you know, kids of the 60s got to go, like, in a, you know, a five-mile area, and then in the 70s, that was down to 2 miles, and then in the 80s, it was down to, you know, like a block.
Helicopter parents.
Yeah. And you got to make mistakes. But God only knows I've made my share of mistakes, but none of them have killed me.
I like the fact that I watch them water these plants every once in a while, and I don't know if some of our listeners, you may not know this, but they have a hose that is buried in the dirt, and then the hose extends out, and they run around with a little cart with water that I assume might even have fertilizer in it. And then they just clamp the hose on the cart to the hose that's hanging out of the garden basket. And then they pump in whatever amount they're supposed to and move on to the next light pole. And because I was wondering, how do they keep those things so rich and beautiful? And that's the reason why. Every day they get attention.
Yeah.
Have you got a garden at home?
No. I have a rhubarb plant that I've been trying to kill for 20 years, but seems to be indestructible. But my sister loves rhubarb, so I peel some off and give it to her. But my thumbs are not green, Wayne.
I see that. So, David, let's talk about some of the things that are going on in our community that perhaps you can set the record straight and or give reasons why. And there are many people that are concerned about our businesses on 7th and Division Street. And the reason that would be Econo Foods, which, of course, is going through a total remodel indoors, so good timing there. And then Eco Gardens, right on the corner of 6th and Division on the southwest side. You can't get there from here. Well, you can on 6th Street. And then, of course, Napa, you have to go get to there by going around the block to get into their parking lot. And then after whatever is being completed on Division, then they're going to move over to 7th Street, I believe. And so Napa is going to get the real brunt of that, and but worse than anybody. And so do they all get to have a discount on their taxes because you interrupted their business?
No. No, unfortunately not. They just have to try to survive through it. And for the privilege of screwing up the traffic patterns, we also put an assessment on them. So it's kind of a double whammy. You didn't mention the Witt brothers. They're a little tough to get to. Northfield Insurance Agency. But they're trying to work.
Village Drug?
Sterling now.
Oh, yeah, Sterling. Yeah.
And that's,
Well, go ahead.
You can get to them, and Heidi Cole is in the basement, and Richie Clinic used to be Dr. Goodflesh's office. You know, you can come around the back for now, but that's why we want them to finish up Division before they start 7th, so both streets won't be closed at the same time.
And for defeated Jesse James days.
Yeah.
So what is, I've heard different, maybe I should read somewhere or look it up on the internet or whatever, but After we take this break, tell us what that's going to look like on that corner. I mean, I've heard everything from like a, what do they call it, a roundabout. We'll be right back.
Millstream Commons Assisted Living is where the all-star seniors enjoy life in Northfield. From the delicious meals, the bright, spacious apartments, the volunteer projects, the bus trips we take, classes we attend, and the music we enjoy, there's something for everyone. At Millstream Commons, we treat everyone like an MVP. For more information, call 507-650-0141.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
That's the title, a little bit of 4th of July music on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Did you learn all those songs when you were a kid in school?
I don't know about Columbia, the Gem of the Ocean. I, you know,
I
know about a verse of
yeah.
of a lot of songs, but
well, I'm just wondering. I remember learning over hill, over dale, we will hit the dusty trail as those
caissons go rolling along.
Well, it's high, high, he.
And the field artillery.
Count off your numbers loud and strong.
1, 2, for wherever we go.
You will always know.
That those caissons go rolling along.
How many people driving along right now in their car are going, hey, you know, and they're singing along with that, huh?
You know, they'll, on various TV shows, you know, when they have, like, the National Memorial Day concert or something on TV, and where, oh, it was at, I think, one of the last Beyond the Yellow Ribbon things at the high school, and they had the high school band there. And they played all the service songs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Anchors Away and all the former Navy guys got up. And
up
then,
we go, into the sky, blue yonder.
And that was the Air Force guys. And then
Coast Guard, that was the song.
And then the Army.
Yep. And
so I had to stand during the Army one.
Yep. You were in the Army.
Yep.
Okay. You're in the Army now. You're not behind the plow. You'll never get rich by digging a ditch. You're in the Army now. That's what I remember.
And the Marines, the Halls of Montezuma.
Say,
all those good ones.
David DeLong is my guest. He's a city councilman. And we're going to chit-chat about 7th and Division Street. I heard almost something about an elevated approach. What is it going to look like when we're all done?
Well, our $35,000 complete street consultant thought we should have a raised intersection there on 7th and Division. However, it's a Minnesota State Aid highway, and Minnesota State Aid, the engineers aren't as excited about raised intersections as other people are.
What is a raised intersection?
A raised intersection is what they do is they ramp it up so drivers will slow down. So the actual purpose of a raised intersection is to inconvenience the driver so that they will slow down.
Just like planting trees along the street, so it's more like they did on
traffic
Prairie Street.
Calming.
You know,
but this would be more like speed bumps.
Oh.
And
so it would be like maybe three yards thick across.
Well, yeah, it ramps up.
Yeah,
so
and then ramps down.
Yeah, and it's flat, though. It doesn't ramp down as much until the other end of the intersection. but they want the pedestrian crossings to be on the level. But MnDOT wouldn't go for that, okay. So that's where you get this elevated intersection, which means it'll slope up. People won't know. It is not a raised intersection, and it will be fairly similar to the 6th and Division, where you can see that's in there already. It needs to slope down because they're lowering the street, but it is not the raised intersection, which is inconvenience the driver to slow down.
Is there going to be a new infrastructure on that on 7th Street?
Yes.
Okay. And
for those that need it, there was new infrastructure on Division too. That's why those are reconstructions.
I thought we had done that when we tore the whole town up.
We didn't go that far.
Oh, okay. And of course, was it?
I remember that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They had that 80-year-old blaster or something, and you sure he knows what he's doing? Well, he's still alive at 80. He must know what he's doing. Otherwise, he'd probably blown himself up by now.
The thing that disappointed me is I asked him, we're talking about folks that, whether you didn't know it or not, but this concrete pavement that we have on Division Street was put in there, and they dug it all out. I mean, it was dirt. I mean, just like it is between 6th and 7th Street now. And I asked him, I said, did you ever find anything cool, unique, you know, because the town's 150 plus years, at that time, almost 150 years old. Nope, nothing interesting. You'd think that they would have found something, you know, like a canteen or spur or something.
Especially along Division here, back in the days before power tools, these were all hand dug. And there's rock, so I think it was pretty hard going. But you know, I can't believe that some garbage or something didn't fall off of someone's, you know, or their lunch pail or. But because you hear it all the time too when people are remodeling houses and there's newspaper insulation in there from 1908.
Yeah. Now you said somewhat. Coy about our $35,000 engineer that did the study and made the recommendation. Did you follow his or her recommendation, or did you?
They tried to as much as possible.
But then the state wouldn't give the money to do that?
Yes.
Okay, why do you get state highway aid? There's no highway there.
There used to be.
Well, if there isn't now, why would the state?
Well, because we get so much money from towns can designate through streets and something. It's their way of giving, I do believe it's the gas tax back to the cities and stuff, because some people don't have, you know, state highways that go through, like Highway 3 or something. Cities have roads that are well-traveled and connect from one state highway to another. It used to be, before they put in Highway 3, it used to turn and come across on the 2nd Street Bridge. The west side was a grid pattern, just like the east side. So that was where the West Theater was, Laura Badger's Cafe. It was grid.
What's it now, where the West Theater?
That they tore down when they put in the bypass.
But where would it be compared to the quarterback club, for example?
Okay, it would be right in front of Bill's Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Basil's. And where that triangular lot is.
Yes,
now.
I remember planting Christmas trees there with David. He was a hairstylist right next to the State Farm Insurance Building. Molina. You know David?
No.
David Molina. He had a little, he was a cosmetologist in the building that State Farm is in. And Rhonda's Flowers ended up there, known that being the Eagles building. But anyhow, we planted Christmas trees on that triangle in front of Bill's Pizza at the time. And lit them up and had to work with the city to get the electricity over there and and have permission. So when you came into town, right on that triangle was a bunch of Christmas trees. It was colder than heck, and we're putting these trees up. Isn't that something? That's so long. That's 48 years ago, maybe, that we did that. So it's 9 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. We're broadcasting from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. And if you happen to cross the dial at 1080 or 95.1 FM, and you're saying, well, two guys are talking, who are they and what are they doing? Well, the show is called The Wayne Eddy Affair, and David DeLong is a city councilman for the city of Northfield, and we're talking about Northfield, and just chitting and chatting about some of the construction work that's going on, and we'll be back and talk more about that and other things right after this important timeout.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
This is raindrops falling in the outfield of Target Field. That is Eddie Rosario ensuring nothing else does. As a shout out to our outfielders and their impossible catches, the first 10,000 fans on July 13th will get a Nothing Falls But Raindrops Rosario bobblehead presented by Pentair. Now's your chance to complete the set. Don't miss a warning track leap, sliding snag, or the final bobblehead in the series. That's how we defend our outfield. This is how we baseball. Visit twinsbaseball.com.
Name that tune.
Kate Smith. God Bless America.
Yep.
Heard every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
You what?
Heard every morning, every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, brought to you by the Legion or VFW. Every Sunday morning, Wayne.
What station?
KYMN 1080 on your dial. 95.1, the one.
We played this?
Yep. Every Sunday morning.
Oh, Dick Severson must have done it.
And they're still doing it.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you that one time when I was younger, I heard a joke, and this guy, it might have been George Carlin, I don't know, but he had a clicker, you know, like when you were kids, you had these little clickers. And he would pretend that he was doing a slideshow. And so then he'd click it, and he says, and here's an aerial view of Kate Smith.
No, but I...
Well, yes, go ahead.
I like that song. And like I say, if I'm at home on a Sunday morning and listening, they still play it. And,
good.
Kate Smith.
So, in reference to 7th and Division Street, will Division Street be a through street while they do 7th Street on the east side?
Yeah. It'll be paved and ready to go before they start. July 15th, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're moving along pretty good there.
Yeah.
But,
I went down there and watched them for a while, and it fascinated me on how they put in the curbing and all of that stuff, and then they wetted it down or painted it white or did something. And
I think that's a cure or sealer.
And then they had a big cement truck that was waiting, and these guys were working on 6th Street and on Division at 6th, and I'm waiting to watch them pour concrete, and then they go over and they talk to the guy. He cleans out the thing that
the concrete
and cleaned that out, hosed it all down, and left a big blob. It would be like an elephant, no bigger than that. And I asked a fellow,
Sean Simonson, the city.
No, it was the guy, the private contractor.
Oh, like Simon Brothers Cement?
I think it was...
Oh, Sims.
No, whatever it
Iams.
Was.
Iams. Yeah.
No,
anyway.
They're all in concrete business. I said, what are they going to do with that? I mean, it's, you know, it's about a foot high and about 2 feet wide, or more, actually. And he said, oh, well, they'll just pick it up, a front-end loader, and let her go. You know, because I'm thinking, well, it's going to sit there, and you haven't poured the... And then they drove away. So evidently, they weren't going to work past 6 o'clock that night, and so they left. And I'm wondering if they left for the load of cement.
Well, sometimes they do, and I know they do have deals sometimes with, you know, they'll try to get the big ones out of the way and then, you know, do the little ones. And sometimes, you know, they'll work a deal with farmers so that if they have a partial load left, you know, they'll work on that. But that's the concrete biz, the, you know, so, SEM stone. But I do know that once it hardens sometimes, that's what you'll see in the pile behind Perkins and the Gleason, you know, that's what they grind up into fill for other things. And they bring their, you know, the pavement and all the the big chunks, and they'll bring in a big machine that just...
Has anybody from the city department resigned lately that is effective July 1st?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Do you know more news?
No, I don't know anything. It's a newsman, or I'm not a newsman anymore, but it's a question, you know, because retirements do take place, generally speaking, at end of a year or half a year, and people get to enjoy their summers.
I know
the last person to retire was
Scott Murphy, who was... Worked for the water department for years and the fireman for years and a member of the class of 74. And
Wasn't he a police officer?
No. That you're thinking of a different Murphy.
Okay.
No, Scott Murphy was in my class. And, you know, the water department...
I think of Lean when I think of the water department. Dave Lean, is it?
Doug.
No. Doug.
Yeah, he retired last year. But, you know, for many years, the water lines just kind of went in, and there weren't computers and weren't... And it takes a long time to know where different water line goes. And so when you lose an employee like that with long-standing knowledge, and, you know, you can have a young kid with all the book learning you want... And, well, it's supposed to be here, but, you know, they have those marker guys, you know, that, you know,
the
call before you dig, Golden State one call. They're not always super accurate. I can tell you that because there was some work going on. My brother did some work on the house, and they came and marked the lines, and they were completely off. They had the line coming in from Woodley Street, not on Spring Street, and they, and a very nice guy from XL, though, because it was a Saturday, came out and said, well, I can, you know, get you up in 20 minutes, or you can give me an hour and a half, and I'll fix it permanently and fix it right. And we said, fix it permanently, fix it right.
Well, I am going to take a break for the news on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. From Northfield, Minnesota, 1080 on your AM dial, 95.1 FM, the one.
Terror plot stopped. Mexico election. I'm John Trout. The FBI says agents have thwarted a 4th of July terror attack on Cleveland, Ohio. A suspect has been charged with attempted material support of a foreign terrorist organization. Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador has claimed victory in Mexico's presidential election. Correspondent Leila Santiago reports Lopez Obrador singled out the U.S. in his victory speech.
Last night, when he spoke of the United States, he specifically said he wants promotes friendship and cooperation for development with the U.S. rooted in mutual respect. President Trump also, as he often does, took to Twitter to congratulate the new president-elect and says that he looks forward to working with him in the future.
Could the EU be next, a day after Canada enacts retaliatory tariffs on American goods?
The European Union may be ready to slap new tariffs on $300 billion worth of American products if President Trump follows through on threats to place new tariffs on European cars. The stark warning was included in the European Commission's written response to the Trump administration's investigation into imports of cars and car parts. They sent their comments to the U.S. Department of Commerce on Friday, and they were published this morning. EU officials estimated that 19% of all U.S. goods sent to Europe could be affected. They also claimed the president's tariffs would violate international trade agreements. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
In an ABC TV interview, President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, seems to shift his approach to place other loyalties above his top client.
He was asked more than once as a course of this ABC interview about loyalty. Will he go out of his way to protect Donald Trump? Will he put Donald Trump before his own family? And Cohen made it very clear that he's going to put his family and his country first.
There's MJ Lee. Michael Cohen is under investigation by federal prosecutors. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 149 points. I'm John Trout.
You must be reading the Statue of Liberty, huh? Do you know that one?
I know the poem.
You know this one here on KYMN Radio. That opening, it was kind of hard to tell what that was going to be. This is my country, the title of that tune on 1080, or song, or music, tune, but it is 3.5 minutes after 10 o'clock. David DeLong is my guest this morning. David is a townie. He was born and raised in Northfield, Minnesota. When did you arrive here?
1959.
Okay, what year were you born?
55.
Okay. David was born and then came to Northfield 4 years later.
Yeah, Springfield, Minnesota.
Okay. Springfield, Minnesota.
You can ask.
The home of Gil Nelson, who used to be vice president of Northwestern Bank. Okay. Did you know that?
No.
Okay, that's back when they were down on the kitty corner from the Muni.
Yep.
So I just remember the little dumb things. Can't remember what button you're to push. But anyhow... Thank you for correcting me. David DeLong, who's lived here the vast majority of his life and graduated from Northfield High School in 1974 and is a current city councilman, and this is his second tour as a councilman. He'd had a brief break and was victorious next time after being defeated. I don't know how to... Okay, you're a city councilman. Did you run
from, again? No, I ran 1993 to the end of 2000.
Okay.
I got us through Y2K.
Okay.
Without.
Okay. Know. Y2K 2000, then, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I got involved again with the city like I got involved the first time. It's like, how can they be making those decisions? This doesn't make any sense. And, you know, always been a don't complain if you don't vote, or, you know, do something about it. Don't just complain. So 4, 5, 6. So I ran again in 2012. So that's what, a 12-year break.
Okay.
And then I got elected to a 4-year term, and now I've been elected to another 4-year term. And so I have 2 years left, 2.5 okay. years left on this.
So we can ask all these questions of you because you're very knowledgeable and you do your homework. You study the papers are coming out of the administrative end of a community. That's a community run under a charter plan, and which means people have input and rights that cities that aren't under charter plan.
And we have initiative, referendum, and recall.
Amen. Now, here is the one that I want to know about. I understand that Dundas has gone along with this idea, and that is that Northfield is going to impose upon its taxpaying citizens and visitors, 0.5% sales tax. Now, that doesn't go over real well with a lot of people. I remember when Harry Levander was governor and he came out with a 3% sales tax that was temporary. And of course, now it's 7-something. And now you got the county, and a lot of people don't know this, but the county already imposes a 0.5% sales tax. And so with the city now wanting to do that, it would be 1%. And so we're going to be pushing 8% sales tax in the near future. And why does the city want to do this tax? And are they working hand-in-hand with the school board?
Not the school board as much as the ice arena people.
Yeah.
And the city is not going to impose the tax unless people say, okay, tax me. Because it'll be on the referendum. It'll be a ballot on, the November election that said, you know, shall the city do this? And the people can say yes or no.
Usually, it help me out if you ever remember anything, but I can recall one time when by political means the question is posed where a yes means no and a no means yes, and it confuses people by the wording. Is this going to be bold print necessarily, but is this going to be worded in a comprehensive way?
Not too comprehensive, because that's when you get confused. But it is going to be straightforward. And shall the city impose this tax, and some other words, you know, to describe what they're going to use it for, you know, the proceeds. And it'll be a simple yes or no. Yes means yes, tax me. No means no. You know, find another way. But similar to the last year's or 2 years ago, the school board's referendum. It's a yes or no thing. There will be an informational campaign by the I don't know what they're calling themselves, the ice arena people, and the city may send out some informational flyers or post frequently answered questions on the website, but it will be up to the voters to decide whether they want this additional tax imposed on them. So, and yeah, I think that's where it should be, because the voters can decide yes, we want this, or no, we don't. Just like they decided the educational one last time, and the school district has come up with different scenarios, and, you know, they listened to what the people had to say at the ballot box. So your voice on the 0.5% sales tax is at the ballot box, except you being out of the city limits and not in the city of Dundas, you'll just have to go buy all your stuff in Cannon City.
I live in Bridgewater Township, so I won't be voting, obviously, in the Northfield City election during the general midterm election coming up in November. It's going to be a hot and heavy political campaign. So it affects only those people living in Northfield, not only the homeowners, but also the folks that rent and the people that own the places they're renting if the people live in Northfield.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that the other day. It's like, oh, well, you know, I just rent. I don't pay any property taxes. It doesn't really affect me. But, you know, as a former landlord, you'll agree that if your property taxes go up, your renter's rent will increase because you're trying to have a little investment there. You're not in the business.
What was the professor's name from St. Olaf that has rental properties?
Oh, Vern Ripley?
Yeah. He said the wisest thing at one of your city council meetings many years ago, and that is he's being assessed a great deal of money on some property he owns, I think right here on 2nd Street. And he went in and just basically said, hey, use common sense. If you're going to assess me X amount of dollars a year, and that's not in my budget, I'm going to spread that out to the renters, and you're looking for low-income residents for people.
Affordable housing.
And you're going to do that. So, I mean, how do you battle that? I think he was successful on not having to pay the huge assessment that was originally.
He might have got a reduction, but I'm sure he paid some sort of assessment.
But the point of it was is that, you know, you want affordable housing, and now you're going to make me pay per unit $50 a month.
Well, and that's not just landlords. It's regular people too. When you get your principal and interest payment, you know, your monthly payment, you know, how much of that is going to property tax instead of, you know, principal reduction. And a lot of the people I know, because I'm not, you know, young Turk anymore, but are on fixed incomes. And I don't know how they do it on, like, two Social Security incomes or something. You know, last year I think they got, you know, like a $20 raise or something. But then their Medicare premiums went up. So what are you supposed to do? You know, yes, their house has been paid for, but they still got to be able to afford to live there. And one of the things we found out during the age-friendly survey is that seniors want to age in place. So
want to age in place?
Age in place. So, you know, if they grew up, you know, and they raised their family in a, you know, two-bedroom Rambler or a three-bedroom Rambler, they want to stay there as long as possible. And Ramblers are easy to do that because everything's on one floor. But they might have to add a ramp here or in the garage or do something there. You know, showers have some more grab bars. But they want to stay in their house as long as possible. And so that means that if they're staying there as long as possible, young families aren't coming in and that house isn't turning over, you know, to be a starter home for some family. And, you know, most families in the olden days didn't start out with a, you know, a 4,500 square foot, three car garage house. I tell people my first house was $20,000. You know,
mine was $27,900, I think.
You know, people pay more than that now for a car.
Yeah.
But, you know, and housing has eaten up more and more of your paycheck. And so, you know, I think you have some people that are, you know, both the husband and wife are working. They're trying to raise kids. You know, the money's tight, and we can either exacerbate that by raising taxes when we don't have to, or we can try to help people live within their means or find other methods for doing stuff. So,
you know, I've often wondered when there's a sales tax and it comes out where a penny is divided, it gets to go to the taxes rather than to the individual. And then I'm wondering, well, then the businesses tally their total sales for, let's say, the day, the week, the month, the year, the quarter, the annual, whatever, and then they give the percentage that is due, so they really don't gain anything by keeping those extra pennies, or you think they do?
No, because, you know, if you're, it used to be, I'm thinking back to the hot dog stand now, it was a quarterly sales tax. And, you know, you round it up or round it down, just like your federal income tax. You know, you don't have $2,500.18. You have $2,500. Plus a penny. You can't go and get a penny candy anymore down at the Ben Franklin. Or the Busy Bee Discount Center.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
So, yeah.
The Busy Bee, I remember that, yeah. You remember the Iron Gate?
No, that one I don't.
It'd be on the east side of the Division between 5th and 4th, and it would be like right about where the Hideaway is.
Okay.
And a guy that was a pilot for Northwest Orient Airlines, wife, had a place called the Iron Gate, and they had an Iron Gate on the front of it, and they'd open that during the day, and you'd step up and go into the store.
Because that's where I had my first job, was on Division between 4th and 5th there. No, 3rd and 4th. But Sears, I worked at Sears.
Okay.
Worked there in the morning.
That was
Sears authorized sales.
4th and 5th, yeah. On the east side.
Yep.
Next to McKenzie's.
And Margaret Stark's gift.
Yeah.
I bought many a Mother's Day something there.
Margaret Stark ended up at the Archer House, didn't she?
I think so for a little while, yeah.
Folks, if you're wondering, what are we talking about? These are some businesses that used to be in Northfield. And bless those souls that still have retail businesses downtown Northfield. But the beginning started with Burnsville and their shopping center. And then, of course, the Mall of America. And then the big boxes come in, and there you go. Yeah. And that's the way it is. Try to buy a pair of shoes today with a real person saying, "May I help you?"
Well, the rare pair has some.
That's right. You know, thank you for reminding me.
But we used to
that.
Have Berg shoes and Bob shoes. And
Carlson shoes before Berg's.
Yeah.
And Tom McCann. We had a Tom McCann.
Is that where you started, in St. Paul?
In St. Paul, I worked at a Tom McCann, yeah.
See, I listen.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. 19 minutes after 10 o'clock, Dave DeLong, a city council person, is my guest this morning. And we're just chitting and chatting. And, okay, so 7th Street, that's going to be done hopefully by July 15th.
Division will be done.
Division, and then 7th Street.
They'll start.
Have you been to New Prague lately?
Lately,
probably in the last year.
Not in the last year, but they did have two roundabouts.
Three. You go about a block or two, and there's another one. Then you go another two, three blocks, and there's another one.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of
roundabouts. I almost killed myself and my wife and a bunch of kids, and I was going up Highway 3.
Oh, the one by the golf course there, north of Farmington?
Yeah, in what do they call that, Empire?
Yeah.
And my wife said, "Wayne." I go, "What?" And she says, because I was talking to her, and I look at people and I talk to them. "There's a roundabout." "Oh, yeah, I knew it was there, but I just, holy cow." So, anyhow, do you think we'll ever have any roundabouts in Northfield, Minnesota?
Eventually, yes, but
where do you think they would put one?
The one that makes sense to me to put it someplace is not on 246 in Jefferson. You know, there's talk about a roundabout there. I think the engineer wants a roundabout there. But that's not going to solve the problem. That's why I'm in favor of a tunnel to put the kids underneath the road. That's the safest way to handle that intersection. That intersection is busy two times a day for a specific period of time. And to spend $1.5 million to put in a roundabout that's not much safer for pedestrians than the regular intersection doesn't make sense to me.
Well, who wants to do that?
We have an engineering study that said, engineering-wise, this is the way to do it. And common sense-wise, doesn't make sense to me, because when I go into a roundabout, I'm not looking for pedestrians. I'm looking for how can I merge this car on my left.
Exactly.
You know, and when do I get to go? So we need to put the pedestrians under that, because that's a busy intersection, and the schools will always be over there. You know, Bridgewater and
the high school.
And the middle school. Yeah, the high school, you know, all that educational zone will still be there. They might move something, but it's still gonna be over there. So there will always be a need to get kids across 246. I also don't believe, because MnDOT wants to turn back 246, and the city is exploring, we've been exploring for 2 years now, a turn back of 246, and the county and the city would both have to do it, and then MnDOT gives you some money for doing that, because now you'll take on the
plowing. And
yeah, and but we plow half of 246 now. You know, out to
Woodley and
or further than Woodley. But then we get to do whatever we want with it. We can have a 30-mile-an-hour speed limit, not the one MnDOT sets. And, you know, 246 only goes from, like, here out to Nerstrand.
Right.
And so, you know, the county, you know, has kind of determined, well, you know, we see nothing wrong with that turn back.
Do you have a history on that, on why that is?
Why they want to turn it back? Or,
no, why Woodley at Highway 3 going east becomes 246. It starts there, or it could end there. And then it comes up to Division Street. Then it goes right
past the high school.
And goes past the high school. Then it curves and goes east.
Towards Denison.
Towards Denison. But just before Denison, you take a right, and it takes you up to the Nerstrand Woods, or the community of Nerstrand. That's it.
Yeah. So, you know,
Who would own the rest of it then if Northfield took it over? How far would you own it? Just up to County Road 1?
Probably the city would own it up to there, yes. And then the county would take it, you know, the rest of the way as far as the county goes.
Now, is Nerstrand in Rice County?
I do believe so.
Okay.
Because I think Denison is right on the Goodhue line. I think Denison might be in Goodhue County, but no, I think Nerstrand. It's got to be close, but anyway, if we did have a roundabout, the one that makes sense is down by Drake's Corner there, which is
Drake's Corner?
Dusty Corners.
Dusty Corner?
Yeah.
Are you talking County Road 1 and 246?
Yes. And the back road.
That used to be called Deadly Corners.
Deadly Corners. I was waiting for you to jump in there.
Yeah.
I was giving you all the D's. I was giving an alliteration.
It had three different names?
Well, I suppose everyone kind of called it, because it was the Drake School that was there, but there was probably a Detley there at one time. It's where the big dirt pile is right now.
Yeah, the mountain of Rice County.
Yeah. But then the old Cannon City Road goes there, too. So you have, you know, you have 246, you have County Road 82, which is going off to the
east.
You got County Road 1 that goes off to the
west.
You got Cannon City, which goes to the north, East.
22.
And then you have, you know, Dundas, Denison Boulevard, which continues. So there you have numerous intersections, excuse me, all coming together at once. That's where it makes sense to have a roundabout, if you were going to put one. And that roundabout should be designed, however, not for just cars, but Northfield is still an agricultural community. And that means we have to get combines through there, school buses, long wheelbase vehicles, McLean's and, you know, Upper Lakes Foods. Everyone is kind of going with 53-foot long semi-trailers. You know, the old 40-foots are falling out of fashion.
Oh, so that's what I'm seeing.
Yes, so 53 feet, as long as you got your...
I'm going to take a break here. Okay. Unless you're in the middle of a thought, but you're turning away from the mic. Do you want to finish your thought?
I was trying to plug me in. Well, I get excited.
Move their chair over. There you go.
I was just getting comfy here.
There. Okay. So, anyhow, from 40 to 53 feet, various businesses in this community have to travel that particular area. If they put in a roundabout there, it would be difficult for them to get off of 1 and onto 246.
Unless you made it, designed it for longer vehicles.
For combines and stuff. I remember.
They won't be popping beads on tires. And
I don't know if it was when, which Gill was our mayor? There's Bob Gill.
Bill
Bill.
William.
I think it when he was mayor, I'm not sure. Anyhow, I remember Gill saying, Jefferson Parkway is not proper. We need to get from east to west to do our combining. I, at the time, I was kind of like, what? And they said, well, you know, everybody doesn't own a combine. They have custom combining, and we got to get to the east side of 246 and the west side.
So you're talking about when they put in the medians that school bus drivers don't like, semi-truck drivers don't like, people with combines and tractors don't like. That was after my time and before my time.
Okay.
Because they were able to do that by, you know, shrinking down the right-of-way, but that was kind of one of those, we need a little common sense here.
Now, I remember as a kid growing up, Johnson Parkway in St. Paul, and I learned that meant, when you said parkway, that it would not accommodate commercial trucks. And it was always a pleasure to drive on it because there weren't any buses or trucks or anything. And so what do the farmers do now to get from one side of town to the other?
Sometimes they have to go north. I don't know what they're doing, or south, to like County Road 1 and County Road 82 and go over. You know, some of them come in on Wall Street Road and come down Fifth Street, which we don't really want to encourage. But, you know, they're gonna be here because Northfield isn't all of a sudden going to be, boom, urban. You know, Rice County, it's important for Rice County to maintain its ag. Greenville had a vote and said, do you want to be rural or do you want to start adding some commercial? And overwhelmingly, the residents of Greenville Township said, no,
good.
We want to be rural. So, you know, people in Minnesota, well, you know, here, you're in Farmington, you go past Fields, you get to Northfield, you go past Fields, you get to Faribault, you go past Fields, you get to Owatonna. But, you know, where does Lakeville end and Apple Valley start? Where does Eagan start and, you know...
Have you been up Cedar Avenue recently?
I'm trying to think.
Well, let me tell you that my wife and I went up there on a Saturday, and she had to go to Joanne's Fabric. Where else she can get that stuff in Northfield? You know, we like to shop local, but so anyhow, on the way up there, I could not believe the construction going on that has gone on in just a short time, like I'm going, already, look at all the equipment ready to do even more.
Oh, Avonlea or whatever.
And it used to be once you passed the old Piper Inn, you were on Cedar Avenue out in the open. And now I can't, those condominiums and those whatever else they're called, I mean, who's buying that stuff? Where do those people come from?
Well, Lakeville has a pretty good industrial base. Excuse me. So they want, you know, the people to live there. I have a nephew that just moved to Northfield because he was commuting from Cumberland, Wisconsin, which is 2 hours one way, to his job in Lakeville. But, yeah.
Must be a pretty good paying job.
Yes. But he decided on Northfield, we're glad to have him. But
as opposed to Lakeville?
Yes, yeah. Or Lakeville, Apple Valley, yeah. Because we got to, it's not the cheapest place. And he says, geez, Uncle Dave, can't you do something about the taxes? And I said, I try. But, you know, it's a great school system, great parks. I mean, they looked in both places and, you know, Northfield won out. And, you know, and a lot of times we do, sometimes we don't because, you know, it's a seller's market now. I mean, and people are snatching up houses as quick as they can. And so that's why we need more, you know, like the Kester development down there. Hopefully that'll come in soon and get some more houses in here and maybe some senior.
We have a home for sale in our neighborhood, and I hope it doesn't sell for what it's listed, because doesn't that increase the value of every other home?
Theoretically, yes. That's what the assessor always says. It's based on sales in the neighborhood.
Yeah. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back in a flash with some more of our conversation.
The genuine enthusiasm for helping people get fit is palpable at CrossFit Scopos in Dundas. Every coach brings their expertise along with their desire to help you be the best you can be. This is Terry Knight, and I've worked out in a lot of gyms and on my own, but the atmosphere provided at CrossFit Scopos in Dundas is nothing like I've ever experienced. I'm challenged and lifted up. I hope you'll take a moment to check them out and let Scopos help you change your life. Go to CrossFitScopos.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa, director at the Vital Link Adult Day Center on the Three Links campus. Our program is for adults requiring care during the day and includes nutritious home-cooked meals, stimulating group activities, as well as outings to local attractions. Vital Link provides support to caregivers during the day. Transportation is available. Please call me at 664-8865 to schedule a tour or find out more at threelinks.org.
Good morning, and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio this 4th of July week. Sounds like a Christmas song almost.
Oh, the little drummer boy? No.
Yeah. Back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. We are the one, 95.1 FM, and of course 1080 AM for almost 50 years. And I'm kind of in a 4th of July mood, and so that is why I'm playing Americana music. My guest this morning is Northfield City Councilman David DeLong, and former businessman David DeLong, and now Carlton employee, or actually Bon Appetit employee, who is on summer break, just like the colleges are. And we're just talking about anything and everything on Kim. And let's see, what other questions did I have? Oh, we're looking for a lot of help in regards to raising funds, we being the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee. And we're having a spaghetti feed on July 16th at the Eagles Club to raise money to get the new bleachers in.
I see the old ones are moving out.
Yeah, but we got to get the new ones in. That's a project. That is a project.
Yeah, I think it will be good, however.
Yeah. All right.
So is that a Thursday then? No,
it's a Monday. It's a Monday, yeah. Well, what's nice about it is that we got these new bleachers, and you have to take them down and store them and then put them back up. Plus, you have to take the old ones and take them down. And I guess some of them are going to go to Randolph School District or baseball or whatever.
Oh.
And they got them free. We gave the old ones away. And they are going to be used or scrapped for dollars.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we got to put up the new ones, which were used. They were at a racetrack, I believe. And they're going to be much better. And so we are doing fundraising to help pay for the bleachers at the rodeo site called Jesse James Arena, which is something that we hope will also attract maybe some type of concerts or other activities down there, so that Northfield will have a venue that can, you know, have people seated at outdoor entertainment.
Well, and I've often wondered about that, because Paul Nimisto and his Vintage Band Festival bring a lot of people to this town. A lot of people enjoy it, but a lot of the seniors like it, because every other year it's in churches, and it's much better park, and it's Bridge Square fills up so fast, the parking goes so fast, it gets to be a long walk for seniors, and I would like to see some kind of because they're not amplified, but but those sound stages are pretty good at funneling the sound, and better, more level parking, or even a what do you call that, a little not a go-kart, golf cart, that runs people back and forth that need assistance. Carleton has, on reunion weekend, they have 20 of those carts, making shuttle stops and taking people here or there, and I think that's something that would benefit Northfield, and it's, because a lot of seniors would love to come down to Winter Walk, but by the time they get here, all the good spots are taken, so they have to, park on, 4th Street, where it's kind of steep, and you get out and you slip. And
of course, the Defeated Jesse James Day Committee provides buses all during the celebration that go from the parking lot at, I say Fairway, but it's McLean. Now. And it goes out to the rodeo site, and it goes to the show up in Central Park. And it has a route, and we publish that, and people can get on the bus and go to where they want to go when they want to go. And
I think that's a great idea, because it's getting to be, parking is more and more of a problem, and we're looking at, in conjunction with the depot and the transit hub and the pavilion and the city owns a lot of that land around the railroad right-of-ways that we can sneak in some parking lots. And the old Walker parking study from years ago suggested, if you take parking over here on the east side, you're going to have to buy buildings or tear this down or tear that down. Over here is where you have the space, and this is where parking should be. But the problem has always been getting people across 246, Highway 3. But now we have that pedestrian crossing by
Quarterback.
The Quarterback.
State Farm. Yep.
And we have, the bicycle on 2nd Street. We've improved that intersection. And now I think is the time to start cultivating some of that parking on the west side, because that's where all the smart people would park anyway. I can't tell you how many events I used to park over where they're putting up the hotel now, but I would park there and make a quick, jaunt across the bridge, and boom,
Are you talking about during Defeated Jesse James days?
Defeated Jesse James days or Winter Walk.
Okay.
The secret ones aren't a secret anymore.
Yeah. I have a secret place, but I won't mention it, obviously, on the air. 19 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of Kyle's Colleges and Contentment, and a special place, as it used to say. And Dave DeLong is my guest this morning, and he is a Northfield City Council person. He also is a townie, and graduated from Northfield the year of 1974 from high school, where he was an outstanding quarterback.
No.
David, do you know lately I've been asking my guests, if they played athletics, what one play will you never forget? Now, if I remember correctly, you did play a little football?
Yep, football. I played guard, tackle, and end.
Okay.
Sat on the end of the bench, guarded the water bucket, tackled anybody that came near it. Ba-dum-bum. I played football. And
who was your coach? Don Hill?
Yep.
And then, what position did you play?
I played offense and defensive tackle.
And how late into your high school career did you play the game?
Senior year, as a matter of fact.
Were you a starter ever?
The two games I started, we won.
Okay. What's that one play as an athlete on a football team, coached by Don Hill, there's one play that you'll never forget that you were involved in?
Well, it was a punt, and our formation, the tackles dropped back because, we pretended we were going to go for it, and then we...
Who was punting?
The punt for me.
Was it the opponent punting?
No, we were punting.
Okay, okay.
And so I had dropped back.
Yeah.
He had broken through the initial line, and, we were always taught to take an angle,
mm-hmm.
and he was running down the sideline, and there was... He had three or four guys with him, and I had my angle, and I just kind of threw myself at him, and he tripped and went down. It wasn't a spectacular play, but it got the job done. And
they didn't score a touchdown.
No, because he...
If you wouldn't have been there, they would have scored.
Yeah, because he was down the sideline. He was home free.
Did it hurt?
No.
Okay.
So I just...
Isn't it fun to remember things like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I say, you don't go up to somebody and say, "Hi, I'm Dave DeLong, City Councilman." It was September 17th in Faribault that I, whatever.
But that was back when, we were right in
the
between.
The Big Ten.
Right in between ten. The Big Ten.
Nine.
And
nine.
Minnesota.
Nine.
Big, yeah. And
in between that.
Yeah, because we were independent for a couple of years.
Okay.
Because we had left the Big Nine, because we were always getting beat up.
Oh, gosh,
and
yes.
The Minnesota was not quite forming, but, it was...
Not as challenging.
Yeah. But so we played teams like Rochester Lords. I think we went out to Tracy because Coach Hill had some connection, or Tracy or Wyndham or something, way out west.
Lancaster.
So,
okay.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, I'll never forget. By the way, I got to tell you, coming up in just 15 minutes, right here on KYMN Radio, 15 minutes from now, 15 with the author takes place. Terry Knight's guest is best-selling author Karen Carbo. Her latest book is titled, In Praise of Difficult Women. Life Lessons from 29 Heroines Who Dared to Break the Rules. From political icons to fashion icons, authors to pilots, Karen talks about how she selected the women highlighted in her book. They live life on their own terms. They are ambitious, passionate, smart, sassy, and imperfect. They don't make life easy, but they make it fulfilling. That's at 11 o'clock this morning on 15 with the author with Terry Knight, right here on KIM.
Are you looking for spacious senior living in Northfield? Feel at home at Northfield Retirement Communities, Northwood Pines. Available for individuals and couples, this assisted living combines the privacy of one-bedroom plus den apartments with family-style meals and care available around the clock. Visit us online at northfieldretirement.org or call us today at 664-3466. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation. Choice. Tradition.
A little bit of marching music on the Wayne Eddy Affair as we approach the 4th of July, or July 4th. Remember to buy a 5th and the 3rd for the 4th from the Northfield Muni. Name this tune.
The Washington Post March.
Isn't this like, this isn't the one they use when the president comes around.
That's Hail to the Chief.
That's what?
Hail to the Chief.
Okay. This is what you see when West Point has a graduation, things like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Northfield had its own drum and bugle corps?
Yes.
Well, those were the days, my friend. I thought they'd never end.
Say, you know, they played your song on the radio here the other day. The Beatles, they played like back-to-back Beatles. But
oh,
the
yeah?
first one was, Will You Still Love Me? Will You Still Need Me? When I'm 64.
Yes, thank you.
But not only the drum and bugle corps, do you go back further when the, like the Aqua Follies?
Yes, Don Hill Don, ran those,
yeah.
And I helped him.
Out at the pool,
I was a JC, and I had a lot of fun, a lot of memories. I see people today, and when I, like, for example, Cindy Nelson, I see her, and I think of the Aqua. When I see the Valerials, I think of the Aquatots. So, yeah, they're planted memories. It was a wonderful time. It was a big show and very ambitious, and I lived right there on the end of 6th Street, so, and I didn't have to go far to go to rehearsals. So, yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yes. I remember more of the High Dive Clowns.
Oh, yeah. One of my neighborhood kids, a guy from in my backyard, I think Nelson was his last name, Louie Nelson. He was one of those clowns. Okay. And a couple other people I know now that are older.
You know, and I also remember, well, and they still have it, you know, Town Ball, the Northfield Knights, the Dundas Dukes.
That's a big game coming up to
4th of July.
Today's Monday, yeah. 4th of July, Wednesday. I went to the game last Wednesday night. And
is that when Channel 9 was in town?
Yes, but they'd filmed ahead of time, and then they just did a brief filming videotaping at the opening. I think they got the Girl Scouts singing God Bless America. Mm-hmm. And then I guess this is the week that they're going to start on Channel 9 showing different communities and their baseball history.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know.
And I still can't remember Lou's last name, the greatest hitter of all time for the Dundas Dukes. I drove by the statue and I tried to read it, but I couldn't. It was too small. Lou something or other. If I heard 100 names, I could pick it out. Oh well. So, David, as a city council person and one that always is very concerned about your constituents, now you're not an at-large, right?
No, I'm second ward, but I always tell people, hey, if you know me, you know, Northfield's too small for neighborhoods. I mean, so if people knew me, knew my dad, knew my sisters, knew, you know, the name just sounds familiar. you know, I'll try to handle any questions they have, or point them to the right city staff person that can. So, because Northfield's too small to say, well, that's not my problem. Yeah, it's.
Has there been any deep thinking or suggestion ever of doing like Apple Valley and Lakeville and maybe even Farmington on a nice, new, beautiful city hall?
I would have to say no, because that thinking went on a long time ago, and I think it was like a $2 million
at least
referendum to fix up City Hall.
Oh, fix it up.
And the people said no.
Okay.
And so along the way now we've been fixing it up. And we've made it much more efficient. One of the things I suggested, too, was, you know, the gymnasium, the old school gym that was the cafeteria gymnasium. I said, well, we're not out of space. Take and throw some girders across here. You know, this thing's 80 feet high. You know, we cut it in half. We still got 20 feet above it and 20 feet below it.
And it's right on your right-hand side as you walk in the Washington Street door.
Yep.
Okay.
And Mr. Cleave was the principal, but I was never in his office.
Okay. I just remember a woman named Portia that was a teacher there. She lived next door to us. Okay, so, David DeLong, what do you think about staff size today compared to when you were first elected your first time around?
Well, there's more, but... And I haven't done a scientific, but it seems to be more administration and fewer worker bees, except for the police department where, you know, we have more officers than we used to, but they're out, you know, doing work. Yeah, but, you know, it's everybody, though, that, you know, I think we run a fairly lean operation, and everyone I come in contact with, I think are hardworking, diligent. You know, whether it be the ladies down in the office where you pay your utility bill or have a utility question, or even the ladies in the DMV. I think we have one of the nicer DMV staffs.
Yep.
When my sister came to town and she went in to get her license, well, these people were nice.
Yeah. No, they are.
She doesn't even have the DeLong attached to her name.
Yep. Sarah. It can't
Sarah
be called
Rubluski.
Rubluski. Yeah. Yeah. And, okay, I just asked that question because you served two terms. You're in your second term, second opportunity, and with a dozen years in between, and how much has there been growing? But then again, the population of Northfield has grown also.
Yep.
And we're at 20,007. It's going to be real interesting what it reads in 2020.
That's getting a big push, the census and the because we want to count everybody, and the League of Women Voters had a thing, and I know Deb Little has been going to meetings for that.
The
2020 census.
But what do you mean,
federal?
Count everybody?
Everybody.
Well, is there people that we aren't counting?
Yes, there are some people that slide through the cracks.
We are going to find out about that in just a moment.
Getting new furniture sounds fun. Shopping for furniture, not so much. High-pressure sales leave you wanting to get out of the store as quick as possible, which can mean bringing home furniture that's not right for you, or nothing at all. Not at America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas. Our low-pressure salespeople are there to help, but allow you to browse for as long as you need to find the right furniture or mattress for you. Stop into America's Mattress and Furniture To Go in Dundas and see how relaxing furniture shopping can be.
This is David Lutescher of Grundhoffer and Lutescher, Attorneys at Law. Marv and I, and the best legal staff anywhere, are pleased to introduce you to the newest members of our legal team, Jennifer Nobach. Jennifer grew up in Lonsdale. She was previously a law clerk to several judges and has years of experience in social work. Jennifer joins Marv, me, and Robin Finke. Robin joined us last year. Robin has over 2 decades of experience, much of it as a trial attorney. And for the curious, yes, Marv still comes in every day.
The Stars and Stripes Forever.
4th of July is just a couple of days away, ladies and gentlemen, day after tomorrow. And so I'm playing a little bumper music with Great Americana Music. David, before we took that break, and now it's 4 minutes before 11 o'clock, and I have to be out of here at 11 because Terry Knight's coming in with her 15 with the author. You mentioned that some people fall through the crack. In 1970, that's when Congress or whomever said students on campus can vote in the local community that they reside in. And that means Carleton and St. Olaf students can vote in Northfield for city elections, county elections, and general elections, federal elections, state elections. Okay, so who falls through the cracks? Because you want to count everybody?
Voting is different than the census. Because you can, the census just needs to count people.
Right, and kids and everything.
Yeah, and some Hispanics are a little leery of government people knocking on their door. They're, believe it or not, we do have an occasional homeless people in Northfield. So some seniors are leery of scams in the government too. So those are the people that they want to talk about. Voting is something else. You have to be registered to vote, and but if you look at it, a lot of people will vote absentee from back home, or especially our elections. By the time they get done voting for president, let's say it was Trump and Clinton, and there was 20,000 voters. By the time you get down to me in the second ward, it's like 1,500 voters. So, those same 20,000 could have voted for mayor, but didn't.
Right.
The same 20,000 could have voted for at-large, but didn't.
So I think that the number of people in the city limits of Northfield is going to grow exponentially by the next 2020 survey.
And you know who's going to grow fastest? Are the over 50 population.
Yeah.
That's you and me, buddy.
Yeah, and that's true. And we have a lot of ministers that retire here in Northfield. And I get a lot of people on the air that retire in Northfield that we chit-chat about that do wonderful work on a volunteer basis. So that's a great source. And then we have the Collegium, and it's a great town to retire in.
Yeah, because you can stay active. We have pickleball courts. We have a fantastic senior program. They work hard at getting people involved. I can't believe that people are out there from, 6 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night with all their various
programs. Not the same people.
No. But, you can be as, you can volunteer at the museum. You can volunteer at the hospital auxiliary. There's just so many opportunities. Or if you want to sit in your recliner and watch the Twins play, or watch the Twins on TV while listening to them on KYMN 1080 on the dial.
You're all right, David. I like you. You do a nice job representing your ward and the community, and you're not as much as a nitpicker as you used to be. You pick your battles now. But you seem to be pretty content, not necessarily content, but you're not upset about things right at this moment.
Not right at this moment, but I have my moments, Wayne. I get I still get excitable at times.
All right. Hey, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks.
And have a safe and happy Independence State.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right. This is your radio station. We are KYMN 1080 on your AM dial from Northfield, Minnesota, and now the one, 95.1 FM. It's 11 o'clock.
It's time for 15 with the Author, hosted by Terry Knight. Join Terry as she opens the cover on a different book each week and talks with the author about their book, their life, and their message. Take a deeper look under the cover with Terry.
This is the year of the woman, the persistent woman, the kick-ass and take-names woman. On today's 15 with the Author, my guest, best-selling author Karen Carbo, shares with us how she came to write In Praise of Difficult Women, Life Lessons from 29 Heroines Who Dared to Break the Rules. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Hi, Terry. Thanks for having me.
In the introduction, you say, a difficult woman is a woman who insists on inhabiting the full range of her humanity. You know that scares some women, and some people might not like those women. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Correct. Well, you know, it actually, as I wrote the book, it became very clear that it doesn't take much to have other people think that you are a difficult woman. You know, one of the other things that I said in the introduction is that a difficult woman is someone who doesn't get too upset when she upsets other people, and also isn't too concerned with the cultural expectations of her time. So, you know, the deal pretty much is that, you know, if you're a woman who doesn't stay in your lane or doesn't take pains to kind of craft a personality that's going to be pleasing to others, you risk being called difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I'll just say this right now, because not too long ago, I had someone in our studio that left crumbs all over. And I told that person that you cannot do that. And it's, I got to look like, aren't you a bee? And I thought, okay. Anyway, had to get that one off my mind. And the thing is, it's about, there's a respect there that you go, well, really? So, yeah.
Exactly. And you could have, and you know what? To continue on that vein, the person could have left, and you could have easily gotten out the little dust rags and cleaned up, and you know, but people need to be called to task sometimes, and I think the difficult woman, more often than not, steps up to the plate and does that.
And I happened to do that and got pretty much called a difficult woman. But what?
Well, bravo! Good for you.
Thank you. What? When did your interest, in particular, in difficult women really bloom?
Well, you know, it's something actually that I've been passionate about pretty much my whole life. You know, the first difficult woman, and she's in the book, who was not my grandmother, who was a difficult woman, but the first sort of public difficult woman for me was Jane Goodall. My parents had a subscription to National Geographic magazine, and before I could even read, I would page through, and there would be Jane in Africa with the chimps, and I was just swept away by sort of the scope of her life and the adventure, and she looked like such a nice person, you know, but there she was out there, you know, having the kind of life that really I dreamed of. So, you know, this was sort of something that was kind of always in my wheelhouse. I think, too, I was talking to a friend of mine. When we were in elementary school, there was a reading series that sort of had, like, Florence Nightingale in it and Amelia Earhart in it, and I loved those books, those little paperback books.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, sort of more poignantly, when I was a freshman in college, my mother died quite suddenly, and as it happened, I was the eldest woman left in my family. I didn't have older sisters, aunts. My grandmothers had both passed, and at that point in time, I really became absorbed in, like, these massive biographies of Martha Gellhorn, who's in the book, Frida Kahlo, and I just sort of, I found solace in their lives. I found solace in the fact that they were determined to be who they were, and also, you know, sometimes they had difficulties, but they weren't willing to change who they were, to kind of get away from having problems in their lives. I think that's sometimes something else that women do, is that if times are rough, they think, well, I need to be different. Yeah. I need to be less bad. I need to be kinder. I need to just suck it up, you know. And, you know, these women were not willing to do it. They were who they were, and everybody else, you know, was going to have to adjust.
And I think that's what I love the book. And again, In Praise of Difficult Women. Yeah, thank you. By Karen Carbo. And in the book, there are the women you highlight are unapologetic. And I love that part, from political icons to fashion icons, authors to Amelia Earhart. How did you choose the 29 women in your book?
It was it's a long process, let me tell you.
I'll bet.
I really wish I had kept kind of the roster as it evolved. You know, the book was put under contract in 2015, so it's been, you know, several years of kind of looking and refining. And the basic requirement was that I felt inspired and energized and passionate about these women. I felt passionate about their stories and about their personalities and how they moved through life. So that was sort of the bottom line. Beyond that, I really wanted to strive to have a diverse roster. I wanted women from different countries, different ethnicities, different races, different socioeconomic places in the world, really so that I could convey that, you know, a difficult woman can be found anywhere. She can come from anywhere. And then beyond that, I also wanted there to be a diversity of personality.
Yes.
You know, I think when we think of difficult women, we often think of outspoken women. We think of women who are up there at the on the dais giving a speech or writing a book. But there are also, you know, some introverted women. There's funny women. There's you know, quietly devious women. There's all different kinds of difficult women.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted to reflect that. So we are not all just cranky, you know.
that's perfect.
That there's a lot of different ways to be difficult.
Absolutely. We're talking with Karen Carbo, the author of In Praise of Difficult Women. What were some of your favorite stories and insights?